Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Now, let me conclude everything we have said today concerning this matter of the word of faith. I want to give us a short summary and then conclude the message. We have spent quite a lot of time talking about the force of faith, of course, because it is so important. But let me read this as an introduction, the scripture I read last time, the book of Proverbs chapter 4, from verse 20. It says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings." He said, "Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life." Now, this last scripture I should quickly read. I think that will help us to develop this thing properly. That's the book of Acts chapter 20. This was after Paul had been with the Ephesians for a while, and he was about to depart from them. Now, he told them something in an exhortation to the elders in the book of Acts chapter 20 there. "So now, verse 32, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." Just one verse I want to read there. It says, "So then, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace." Now, I have read these two scriptures to highlight some important issues. I'll mention them as I go on, but let me just revise everything I have said up till now about the issue of the force of faith. Now, please, don't forget where we started from. I said faith is vital for our existence. It's exactly the foundation for everything that we do. In that book of Mark, chapter 11, verse 22, thereabout, when Jesus was responding to the query of Peter concerning how he killed the tree with just a word, he said the foundation of it is have faith in God. That is, there is nothing that you will get that will be dramatic as results on the earth except you have faith in God. Jesus said that when God, the judge, will come and avenge you of your adversaries, or to give you legal protection, like New American Standard says, against your enemies. He said one thing he must find is faith on the earth. He must find faith in your heart. That is, your life is a life of faith. That what's most important is that you don't lose faith. When Jesus was praying for Peter, he said, "I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail." I said something a few episodes ago, which I just can't get away from. The battle of life is a battle for your faith. If you come out in the morning and you find out that your car has caught fire overnight, all right, or you parked it somewhere and the whole mechanic workshop had burned down and your car was inside there, or you parked your car beside the road and you went to go and sleep, you came up next morning and you find another car parked there. And this really happened to somebody I met once. And next thing you do is you crawl under the other car to see whether he actually parked on top of your car. You understand? It really happened. The young man parked his car and went to do business. By the time he came out, not only was his car missing, there was another car parked in the parking spot. So he crawled under the car to find out that, wait, did you park on top of my car? And that was the amount of shock that he was in. And he wasn't joking. A thief had taken his car. Now, things like this happen. You make investments and then you lose a lot of money. Listen, especially if you are a Christian, you are a child of God, listen. It is a battle for your faith that is being fought. Don't ever forget the lesson of Job. The battle is the battle for your faith. You must be careful how you respond. You must be careful. Satan is there watching, wanting to see what you will say. You understand? And use that one in accusation against you. Listen, the thief, the Bible says, comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I say something, that Satan does not have any power in himself. He doesn't. It is us, all right, that are confused, that will think that is so powerful a person. All he has is the power of accusation. He goes to the throne of God to accuse you. I'm explaining something here. That how you respond in the time of trial is one of the things that Satan will use against you. Like the American policeman will tell you, you have a right to remain silent. Anything you say can be used in the court of law against you. You get what I'm saying? Now, you already have an attorney. That's a matter of fact. But you see, your attorney is powerless. That's what they are saying. That if you say something, you incriminate yourself. I like legal stories a lot. I read legal novels, and if I see a legal movie, I love to watch it. And one of the things I have learned there is that the judges say that it is difficult, all right? The strongest evidence they can have, all right, is a confession. That is, if somebody confesses and say, "I did this," then no matter what you say, once the person has said something, his words are so powerful against himself. This is the interesting part. He's not even as powerful in his own favor as it is when he speaks against himself. And a lot of us, that's what we do. We speak against ourselves in life every day. What is going on? What's going to happen now? In this country, man, don't die, finish. You know, we make such statements, and we don't realize how powerful they are against us. How your business? Yeah, business are so. In fact, ever since NEPA became PHCN, that was the end of my business. You know, you ask the person, what has that got to do with your life? They change the name of NEPA. How does it concern you? No, it doesn't matter. The issue is that he has a negative attitude towards life. Satan has stolen his faith. He has weakened his faith. And now he now has the ability to oppress him. People go around every time telling me that they are oppressed by witches. One of the things that even make me laugh, you know, I've not heard in a long time. So recently, I think I heard something like that some time ago. And it was like surprising to me. Do witches still oppress people? It was quite surprising to me that I thought it was a matter of history, because as a matter of fact, I don't believe in the oppression of witches. I don't believe in it. I always say that I'm not saying there are no witches. I am enlightened enough to know those things exist. I'm enlightened enough to know that the power of darkness exists. But I'm also enlightened enough to know that that is for those who they have power over. I don't pray against witches. I always say that those who have occultic powers, who want to die early, they should use it against me. Now, listen to me, I'm not praying about them. I don't have their time. I am just saying that they will have, you know, done something that will activate God's judgment against them. Why? Because the blood of Jesus is speaking on my behalf every time before the throne of God. And I'm cooperating with my mouth with the blood of Jesus. And I said that's how we triumph over Satan, by the blood. It is not by shouting the blood. It's in every little thing. Oh boy, how business? Well, business, man, don't die. That is, you know, you are failing. Satan is taking you over. But if you ask me how is business, if I were a businessman, what I would tell you is that even though sales are down now, I know they shall yet increase. Even though we have problem with generating our own power now, I know we shall yet become settled. And despite this, we will increase, you know. I will say words that will bring victory my way. What am I saying? It's a battle for your faith. Don't ever forget it. That's why I've taken so much time talking about faith. More than 20-something episodes now, we have been talking about this force of faith. Your faith is very important. It's very important. You must nurture it. Now, having said everything, all right, the summary of it is that this is a beginning and this is the end of faith. He said, looking unto Jesus in Hebrews chapter 12, the author and the finisher or the perfecter of faith. That is, whatever I want to do, it starts with the Lord Jesus Christ and ends with the Lord Jesus Christ. When we talk about giving your life to Christ, I've said it again and again, it's not about church. It's not about, I want to join this church, I don't want to join that church. It is about, I want to have my faith strengthened. I want to live a life that will be pleasing to God, and that God can manifest his divine and eternal plan for this earth through me, as far as my own life is concerned. That is, God has written something about me, and I know that that thing must most certainly come to pass. All right? And this is the way by which I will allow God to do it. It's by cooperating with him with my faith. So for me, faith is so vital. Faith is so important. I can't do but have my faith strengthened. You get what I'm saying? And you see, the beginning of everything, all right, I said, is faith in Christ Jesus. That Jesus is the one who has reconciled me to the Father. He is the one that is guiding me in the path of righteousness for his own name's sake. He is the one that is feeding me with the bread from heaven. Now, that's one thing I want to talk about, the bread from heaven. When Jesus was teaching disciples to pray, he said, pray like this. He said, give us this day our daily bread. I'm explaining something. We know we read from the book of Proverbs chapter 4. He said, my son, attend to my words. That is a bread from heaven. Jesus is the word of God. He is a bread from heaven. His words, they are the bread from heaven. That is spiritual nourishment for your soul. That is spiritual nourishment to strengthen your faith. It is not just reading anything that appears religious, but by looking for what Jesus and his blood has said about every situation. That's why Paul said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. I said something earlier, that God has something, that's in previous episodes, God has something to say about everything. And that was what Paul was referring to. He said, I recommend that word to you. I direct you to the source of strength for your life, for your faith. And that is the word of God, the word of his grace. Where you have lost energy before, this is where you will become strengthened back. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? Now, there's something I want to emphasize on this matter of this word of God's grace. You see, a lot of times people say that the yoke is broken because of the anointing. And they're reading from the book of Acts chapter 10 in verse 27. If you go and read that from every other translation apart from the King James, you'll notice that he emphasizes one word there. And that's the fact that the yoke is broken because of fatness. That is, this is how it is. A yoke is something you hang around your neck. Please don't forget what I'm saying. I'm commending you like Paul to God and to the word of his grace. And I'm explaining that the manifestations of grace in life, of God's power, is dependent upon this thing that we are saying. Now, so, what is a yoke like? A yoke is something that you hang around the neck of an animal, all right? And then you attach a plow to it so that when he's moving, he's dragging the plow and then, you know, the earth is tilled. Now, that's how it was those days. We use a mechanized, we use machines, we use tractors to pull the plow. But those days, people had to use animals. Now, it was therefore used as a sign of somebody in slavery whose strength is used to produce for another person. You know, he works here. The income is given to the life of somebody else. Do you follow the point there? Now, so that's what a yoke is. So if somebody is in bondage, all right, if somebody is in slavery, because you see, every energy you exert goes somewhere. It can come to your house or your labor is in the house of another. And this is just by the way, that's the job of sinners. Sinners labor for other people. They may seem to be gathering now, but eventually, God said, everything they have gathered, I will give it out to somebody else. The man has acquired a lot by, you know, by stealing, by cheating, by all kinds of crafty methods. Then God one day will bring difficulty his way and all that his labor. All right, what is worth a million naira? He will sell for 50,000 just to deliver himself out of trouble. What has happened is that his labor has gone into the house of another person. So when a yoke is on somebody's neck, what he's doing is that he's working for much and he's bringing in little. Do you understand? He exerts a lot of energy, but somebody else reaps the reward. People don't know it sometimes. I said that there is no boss you work for that is not making more money. I mean, that's just the principle of business. That's not making more money from your head than he's giving to you. Now, that is okay for the times of training. But this is a point. There are people who work, their boss makes 100,000 on them. They only get maybe 5,000 or 2,000 naira. And they realize I'm laboring hard, but I'm getting very little. That's an example of a yoke. People say that, why is my life so frustrated? How come I don't make progress? That is summary. They have a yoke upon their neck. Now, so people now come, they want to break that yoke. They say the yoke is broken because of the anointing. And they don't understand the meaning of the word anointing in that context. And if you read that, Isaiah chapter 10. Actually, what Isaiah was saying is that the yoke is broken because of fatness. This is what he meant. That you see, the yoke is around the neck. Now, everything has a size. If you wear a size 16 shirt or a size 17 shirt or a size 18 shirt, you know, it fits your neck perfectly. Now, a time comes in which if you grow too fat, you find that you can no longer button that shirt. Or as you see your children as they grow, you wear a pair of trousers you bought for the child as it's growing. One day wants to bend over to pick something, the trouser tears. That's what the Bible means when it says the yoke is broken. That is, once your neck becomes fatter than it used to be, the yoke that Satan hung around your neck becomes automatically broken. The yoke, he said, is broken because of fatness. Do you understand? It's not because of, like, somebody pray for you and say, in the name of Jesus, I'm breaking the yoke. Now, that works certain times, and it works temporarily. I like to emphasize the word temporarily, because it is possible to remove a yoke. In fact, like Jeremiah said once, a man was prophesying falsely. He put a yoke of wood on his neck, and he removed it and broke it. And Jeremiah said, you have removed the yoke of wood. I will replace it with the yoke of iron. That is why a lot of people who join certain kinds of groups trying to look for deliverance by prayer, they become hooked on those kind of things. Because you see, when a yoke is broken, when you are not fat enough to reject it, the Satan that put it there before, you break the yoke of wood, he puts another one of iron. So if last time you broke the yoke with 5 days fast and 5 days prayer, the next problem in your life, you will need 10 days fast and 10 days prayer to be able to solve it. But what is the permanent solution? This is what I'm trying to explain. That is what God said, that the yoke will be broken because of fatness. Spiritually, that's what it's, of course, you understand that we're talking about spiritual things now. It's a figurative expression for spiritual things. That if a man's neck has become fat, the yoke drops off automatically. Where he was in bondage before, he suddenly discovers that he's free. I've heard testimonies here and there. People are having this kind of problem. And then when they focused on the word of God and the will of God for their lives, many of them, when they gave their lives to Christ, they discovered that over time, the problem that was plaguing them before suddenly vanished. I like to say this, that there is nobody who has believed in the Lord Jesus who is bound actually by negative, that is ancestral forces. You can say, this is a problem. In my place, nobody does well. Listen, that was before you gave your life to Christ. The Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, they have become new. every new thing that has come into his life, the Bible says they are of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is, there is no curse upon the man's life. No curse can hold him down. The problem, that's what I'm saying, is ignorance. The problem is a leanness of the neck that allows Satan to hang any kind of yoke there. But God said, listen, this is your deliverance, that you become built up with the word of God. He said, I commend you to God, Paul said in Acts chapter 20, and to the word of his grace. He said, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance. You see, there's a progression there. What the word of God does first is to build you up. It builds you up spiritually. It automatically breaks the yoke of Satan that's upon your neck. In one of his books I read, the great man of God, then Kenneth Hagin, told the story of how he too got into all this deliverance thing. And people like to do it a lot. So there's a problem in our home. They go to the village and go and arrange deliverance. Listen to me. The deliverance that God gives to people starts with their own soul. What I mean is this. A man who is a sinner must stop sinning. You don't go around doing your business like everybody else, cheating like everybody around you, and telling me that Satan is afflicting you. Why won't he afflict you? If you were Satan, is it not the sinner you will afflict? No, think about it. If you were the enemy, who will you go after? The righteous man. You don't have strength over that guy. It's the one you have strength over you will attack. And it's the person that Satan has strength over is a man of sin, the man of iniquity. The man has not stopped committing adultery. He's hiring prophets to go and organize deliverance in his hometown. The man has not stopped cheating. He's organizing prophets. He has not stopped all the evil of his ways. And he says that if he pays money, the prophets will come, they will pray, and they will drive away all the spirits. Listen, that is exorcism. That is, you know, that is not Christianity. That is dabbling into the occult. True Christianity addresses the state of your soul. Your sin must be forgiven first. When a man came to Jesus, he said that Jesus looked at him and said, your sins are forgiven thee. It is sin that we forgive before we start delivering. That's the point I'm trying to get you to understand. That was why John the Baptist came with a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. And the Bible testifies that he did not do any mighty work. Now, everything he did, listen, was just to baptize people and wash off their sins. The Bible said he was preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. Once the people repented and they were baptized as a sign of their repentance, their sins were forgiven. And then he now told them, there is one coming mightier than I. When that one came, he now began to heal them of their sicknesses, heal them of their poverty, heal them of all their afflictions, heal them of everything. Because they had first gone for the baptism of John. And that's the divine order. God said it like this. There's a second, first and second day in which you purify yourself. That was the commandment he gave to Moses in the book of Exodus. He said, tell the children of Israel, purify yourself today and tomorrow, for on the third day I am going to come down. That is, there must be a purification of the first and second days before the third day of the appearing of the Lord. A lot of people don't want that. They want somebody to just show up suddenly. Come to my hometown and pray. I'll have an offering ready for you. And the man prays and prays and prays. And listen, most of these people don't have as much understanding as Balaam did. Do you understand? Even though Balaam was willing to take money, but he still understood that I cannot bless whom the Lord has cursed, and I cannot curse whom the Lord has blessed. It's a simple principle. A lot of people who are asking for such prayers, they are still cursed. Well, how are they cursed? They told Eli, he said, your sons have brought a judgment upon themselves by their sins. When they were speaking, Job and his friend were discussing, he said, maybe your sons sinned, and God committed them to the power of their iniquity. What am I trying to explain? That sin has power. And people that have not yet been redeemed from their sin, the power of their sin is what Satan uses to oppress them. And until you repent and you are forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ, there is absolutely no deliverance from you, no matter how much prayer somebody wants to pray. Peradventure, the person is able to break the yoke of wood, Satan will replace it with the yoke of iron. You must get that point. But what am I preaching, you will say? What I'm preaching is that there is deliverance, absolute deliverance, which comes by obeying the word of truth, which comes by being built up spiritually. You have forsaken your former ways, you have given your life to Christ Jesus, all right? And then you are being built up with the knowledge of the word of God. God said, I will give you pastors after my own heart who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. And that's what people don't realize that they need. They think what they need is prayer. No, that is not what you need. What you need is knowledge and understanding. Are you getting the point I'm making? For example, I have discovered it. That my future is bright. He said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. I have discovered that I'm not held down by any ancestral curse or the problem of the black man, like we like to say. I have come to understand that no evil shall befall me, neither will any plague come near my dwelling place. People wake up and pray against witches. Those are prayer points. I have no idea on how to pray because they are unnecessary. Why do I think they are unnecessary? Because that is word of God. That's what the word of God has said. He said, my life is hid with Christ in God. He said, I'm seated with Christ Jesus, all right, in the realm of the spirit. Now, talking about that. He said, I'm seated with Christ Jesus on the right hand of God on high. That is, I am seated, highly exalted, above all principalities and powers. All right? Above all principalities and powers. And these are the operations of satanic forces. I know where I'm seated, and they know where I'm seated, and there is no confusion as to who is seated where. They understand that some people are superior to other people. That is, that the child of God is superior to the agents of Satan. And it's an established fact. Therefore, like David, in peace will I lay me down and sleep, because the Lord alone makes me dwell in safety. These are things that are not prayer points. What do I pray about, you say? And then we'll pray about the work of God on the earth. We pray for those who are under oppression, that they will open their hearts. All right? We rebuke Satan for their sakes, so that their hearts will be opened. Like he said in, if you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he said that the God of this world has blinded the eyes of unbelieving. So sometimes what we do is to pray that God will open their eyes so that they will behold the gospel of the truth, all right, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and if they believe it, then the beginning of their deliverance, all right, has commenced. Now, I'm explaining some point. It's as they are being built up with truth, as you are being built up with the word of God, you don't have any other hope in life. The only hope you have is God's word. That is what gives you the breaking of the yoke that endures. That if God breaks a yoke, it is broken because you have become spiritually developed. Therefore, Satan cannot put any other one on it. Do you understand my point? Every yoke that is placed upon your head, Paul said it like this. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ Jesus. It is a power of God unto salvation for everyone who will believe. We read from Proverbs chapter 4. He said, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst. Don't let them depart from your heart. Keep them in the midst of your eyes. He said, because they are life to those who find them, and health to their whole system. Remember what we said? Health, there is in the word of God. Prosperity, there is in the word of God. Soundness, it's present in God's word. And we said these things is what constitutes life, all right? And the Bible said that the just shall acquire life because of his faith. I hope what I'm saying is making sense there. Therefore, what am I leaving with us today? Every child of God, you have a responsibility to study the word of God. You know, my wife was telling me the other day that, you know, she does marketing, she sells things. Some of the things she says are quite expensive. That sometimes she will encourage people to buy books that are as cheap as 500 naira, 200 naira. And they will say, can't you give me for free? Listen, there are some certain things I don't give people for free. One of them is books, especially the ones that I wrote. I don't offer it for free. I can dash you money, all right? That one I have an obligation to do. But if you want the book, go and take that money and go and buy it. The Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. All right? That's my principle. If it is not valuable enough, you go and buy a suit. You pay 10,000, 20,000, 35,000 naira for it. And to you, it is worth it. But you see a book that can change your life, and you tell me that to pay 300 naira for it is a lot. There are things I just don't dash people. Do you understand? I will not dash it to you. As if we write and say that, please, we will need Bible. I said, the Bibles are sold everywhere. If you go somewhere and go and walk or miss breakfast for a few days, you have enough money to buy a Bible. I was in Benin a few days ago, and as I was driving through the central part of Benin, they call it Ring Road, there was a place where they were screaming, buy your Bible now, 200 naira, buy your Bible, 200 naira, buy your Bible, 200 naira. And I thought to myself, and somebody will still ask me, please dash me a Bible. There are things I don't do. I thank God for people like Gideon's International, who place Bibles everywhere, who go around giving people Bibles. But maybe to the unbelievers, fine. But to the Christian, there are things I won't give you. I just won't give you. That is, you must show that it has value. Hey, somebody cannot be wearing a wristwatch that he bought for 10,000 naira, and he cannot buy a book for 500 naira. Listen, we're talking about deliverance here. This is real blindness of Satan. That is why certain things I don't give people. I've seen people look at my book and say, Pastor, this book is very nice. So can I have one? I say, well, let me have your money also. If it's something I'm not selling, I say, okay, sow a seed to the book. That's for production or some more. Give me some money. Then I know that the book is valuable to you. That not that I'll give you a free book. Listen, there are books out there. You have money to eat, you can buy a book. As a Christian, you must make reading a habit. Do you understand? A lot of people just like to pray. prayer that is senseless sometimes. The Bible says that God is in heaven and you are on earth, and let your words be few. He said, watch your steps before you approach the temple of God so that you don't go there and go and offer the sacrifice of fools. A lot of people, that's what they do because it is easier. They want to pay a kind of penance, all right, for their deliverance. See, I sowed a seed for my deliverance. That thing, I hear it all the time, and to me, it makes me laugh. You cannot sow financial seeds for your deliverance. Faith is what delivers people. Listen, a generous man, listen to me, let me just get that clear. All right, let me say it very clearly. A generous man, the Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. And you see, one of the things that ventilates the spirit, okay, is to be a cheerful giver. And I believe very strongly, a lot of people, their breakthrough is hindered because they have closed their hands away from God. That is, God said, except you open that hand, I will not be able to bless you. But that's how the principle of giving goes. It is not as if you pay God for your deliverance. You can't. You can't. The Bible says that the redemption of a soul is costly. It's very costly. You can't pay money for it. Jesus has shed his blood to deliver people. What you need to know now is what the blood of Jesus is saying. You can't pay God for your deliverance. Let me say it clearly again. You can grow up spiritually, become strong spiritually, and you're automatically delivered, all right? And as part of your progress in spiritual things, it is manifested, all right, that you become a cheerful giver. But that you pay God for your deliverance, it is not possible. You must get that point. If you say, no, I'm not paying God, I'm just saying, say, call it whatever you like, all right? The fact is that it is the development of the spirit, all right, that leads to deliverance. As you are growing up spiritually and the yoke is being broken out of your life, that's my message to every believer. The word of God must be priority. You don't say, they are playing football. In fact, sometimes people say that, maybe I want to do a teaching program. They say, Arsenal is playing Man U tomorrow. People will not come. I said, the people who consider watching the match between a foreign club and another foreign club in which none of the players give them anything, and the players are earning millions and millions of pounds on you, but because we are people like you are watching every year, all right? If you consider sitting down and moping at the screen for 2 hours, more important than coming for the program where the word of God is being taught, I will not shift it because of you. I did not come for you. I went to do a seminar somewhere once. People said that attendance will be poor because Manchester is playing. I said, that's Manchester's problem. It doesn't concern me. I'm a preacher of the gospel. I am preaching to those who consider the word of God more necessary than their food. They say, I have considered thy testimonies more important than my very, very food. Now, get what I'm saying? That's the path to progress. That is the path to freedom. That is the path to prosperity. I hope you've gotten my point.
We trust that you were blessed by that message. This has been a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, and has been brought to you on the bill of friends and co-workers of the ministry. For more information and for free downloads of books, audio messages, and other materials, please visit us on the web at kingdomword-ng.org. We recommend that you spend more time with these teachings on books and CDs. Our MP3 CDs contain up to 10 messages each or even more. These materials are available from our office at No. 1A Chime Avenue, opposite Ebano Estate by Otigba Junction, Enugu, or from many bookshops around you. For more information about the ministry, please direct calls to 0808-260-9588. Remember, the time of this broadcast is 8:30 p.m. on Mondays and 7:30 p.m. on Thursdays. Till next time, may the Lord be with you.